Well, apparently word of that got around pretty quickly too. I guess it would. If that was happening here, I guess people would start coming here to check out what was going on. So word spread in Ephesus that people, and this is a city filled with demon-oppressed people, word spread that people are getting set free from darkness. And folks start hearing about this, and the next thing you know, there's a bunch of guys going around who pass themselves off as exorcists. They're Jewish guys. They make their living supposedly delivering people from demons. What they would do is they'd come and they would pronounce these, you know, they'd have these rituals, elaborate rituals, and they would try to, you know, cast this demon out of people. And there were actually, some may have been legit in their intentions. There were actually a lot of frauds that would do that, and, you know, because people would pay anything to find freedom. And so they would, you know, just like you have a lot of crystal ball, tarot card people today that will tell you anything as long as they can get your money. And so these guys were running around here doing all kinds of stuff, making all kinds of money. And they heard about the success that Paul was doing, and they figured, wow, man, maybe we should try some of that Jesus stuff. Maybe we should use that name, see what kind of luck we can have with it. The only problem was they didn't know Jesus. And so they didn't have the anointing. I would submit to you that that anointing is critical to the success of a deliverance ministry. You ain't got the stuff, you ain't going to see the success. You got to have the stuff. You got to have the glory of God, the anointing of God, to do that miraculous power. And so they figured they'd give it a shot. Acts 19:13. Then some of the itinerant, that means they went all around to different places, some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Yeah. I'm impressed. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. Verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" CJ could do that better than me. Maybe Chris. "But who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Wow. Yeah, that is hysterical. I think those guys were a little bit embarrassed, don't you? Yeah, naked. That's the Eastern Shore translation of the Greek. N-E-K-K-I-D. That is deliverance ministry gone bad, okay? The only deliverance that happened there was when the demon guy delivered a butt-kicking to these seven sons of Sceva. That was deliverance. He delivered it pretty good. Praise God. I was talking to a dear friend the other day, and I liked what he said about this passage. He said, you know, these seven guys all teamed together. These seven guys could not do what one little handkerchief from the Apostle Paul filled with the anointing of God could do. These demons in this man were not afraid of a whole team of these Jewish guys, but they trembled and fled before a hanky from the Apostle Paul. What's the difference? Here you've got seven bruisers coming in. Yeah, we're going to take care of this job. We'll use the name of Jesus. Here you got a dude with a handkerchief. In fact, it might not have even been a dude. It might have been some little old lady who took the handkerchief from Paul and came and put it on her little child and saw that child delivered. So you got seven bruisers. Here you got a little grandmother with a hanky. What's the difference? The anointing of God, the power of God. It breaks my heart when churches fight so hard not to have that. I got started in a church like that shortly after I got saved. Man, I got saved in a Pentecostal crusade. Man, folks were going nuts in that place. I got gloriously saved. And I got discipled in a Baptist church. I'm glad I did. I was a flaky guy. I needed the structure. So it was not a bad thing. But there are many churches that don't want anything to do with that power because they're afraid of what it might do. Because they don't then have control over what's going on. The Holy Spirit does. And I'm not advocating flakiness. I mean, people do get in the flesh and do things that are not of the Spirit. Nevertheless, I would rather err on that side and experience the delivering, miraculous power of God than to quench the Spirit and never see Him come back again. Praise God. This is significant because demonic forces are very real. And they, to unbelievers, they are very powerful. Christians need not be afraid of them because we have the victory in Jesus Christ. Christ has defeated principalities and powers through the cross. He made a show of them openly. He now dwells in us, and greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. But if you're in the world, be afraid. Be afraid. These are nothing. This is not a game. It's nothing to play with. And the city of Ephesus was eaten up with demonic oppression because these people were up to their eyeballs in magic and the occult and goddess worship. The city was given over to those types of practices. It was not only the capital for goddess worship, but also for fetish making. There was a huge market in Ephesus for fetishes. That is an object that supposedly contains some charm or power, pagan power, to overcome other pagan forces of darkness. Now, that is one of the reasons why we are so adamant in this church to steer clear of anything that even smacks of the occult or demonic or magic or any of those types of things, because they are an open door for demonic intrusion in your life. When you play with those things, you open the door wide open for demonic influence and oppression to come and wreak chaos in your life. I know, before I got saved, I was heavily into what is now called New Age stuff, metaphysics, the occult, Eastern mysticism. I had my own tarot cards wrapped in a purple cloth. I developed an entire system of interpretation for them. We had Ouija boards. We would dabble with all kinds of stuff, mix it in with drug abuse and stuff like that. And I had some crazy dark stuff happening to me in my life, and I didn't know how to get out of it. There were moments when I was terrified because of the stuff that I encountered. And I thank God that Christ came and not only saved me from hell, but delivered me from that stuff. I was a tormented young man. I would talk about it in tears to my friends sometimes. I think I scared them sometimes because I was like, man, I don't know. I don't understand what's going on. Well, I was leaving the door wide open and having a neon sign, you know, vacancy. John D'Souza, bring your buddies. You know? Man. And the Word of God is explicit. I could spend the next half hour talking about various scriptures. I'm going to pull out a couple key ones that I think we need to be very aware of. Deuteronomy 18:10. Yes, this is Old Testament, but bear with me. I'll explain in a moment. Old Testament, Deuteronomy 18:10. The Lord said to Israel, let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, who interprets omens, who engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Now, he uses every term in the Hebrew language. In that passage, he uses every term in the Hebrew language that was used back then to denote occult involvement. No, it wasn't trying to make a precise list and saying, okay, these seven or eight, but if you got number nine, that one's okay. He was trying to be representative, not specific. He's saying, look, don't mess with this stuff, whatever it is. And just like a lawyer, he goes out and spells out all these things, you know, consulting the dead, being a medium or a spiritist, engaging in witchcraft, casting spells, performing, you know, using sorcery, divination, all these kinds of things. He's saying, look, don't mess with this stuff, whatever it is, because these things are detestable to the Lord, because they do open doors of demonic involvement and lead people astray. Now, If you're saying, well, you know, that was Old Testament, that was to those people who were under the law, he goes on, and I'm not going to bring out all the scriptures, but look it up yourself in that same chapter. He goes on to say that these things are the reason, one of the reasons why he drove out the Gentile pagans out of the land of Canaan. When Israel came in to inherit the land of Canaan, they drove out the nations that were already inhabiting that place. God told Abram, I'm going to take these people out of here and give it to your descendants, but the cup of their wickedness hasn't been filled up yet. But when Moses came through, it was time. The season had come, and God was judging those people for what? The stuff. Guess what? That wasn't Israel. They were pagans. So God was not simply saying to his people, don't mess with this. He was saying to everybody, don't mess with this stuff. He said, he told Israel, that's the reason I drove them out so that you could take their land instead. Because they did this kind of stuff. And in Leviticus, he also says they were horribly wicked and with sexual immorality. They were sleeping with animals, on and on and on, stuff that I'm not even going to bother to talk about. Those are the things that people were doing. History tells us that they also would kill their children. They would sacrifice their children. Well, like it says here, they would sacrifice their children, make them pass through a fire on a brass altar of a statue of a demon. But they would also take their children whom they had sacrificed to these demons and put them in vessels, containers, jars, and then put them in the walls of the city. As they were building the walls of the city, they would take places and put these jars of their sacrifice children into the walls of the city. So this was a barbaric people. These were not, you know, you don't feel sorry for these guys because God drove them out of the land. But this is the kind of stuff they were involved in, and that's the kind of stuff that this ultimately leads to. If you don't believe it, look at the back of CJ's shirt, where 50 million children have been sacrificed on the altar of convenience through abortion in our nation. Before we break bad all over the Canaanites.